sexual crimes conviction of disgraced former Hollywood movie producer Harvey Weinstein has brought the issue of sexual harassment in the workplace into the spotlight once again. What started off as a movement against sexual misconduct ignited by Weinstein's actions has culminated in not only a global movement against sexual crimes, but a shift towards understanding employees' rights in the workplace and the accountability of employers. To understand what constitutes sexual harassment, Samora Mangesi spoke to Anne Lee Bezadenhout from Johannesburg-based law firm Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr.
So sexual harassment is an offence that's created in terms of the Employment Equity Act. And the code to the Act says that sexual harassment is unwelcome conduct of a sexual nature. Unwelcome is quite an important word in that sentence, in that it's anything that's not by mutual consent, and the code in fact provides certain factors as well which can be taken into account in determining whether or not sexual harassment has in fact occurred.
Now, where does the employer's responsibility start and end regarding this issue?
So employers have quite a few obligations in terms of the Employment Equity Act. I think generally it's important to state that employers have an obligation to protect its employees. And that protection goes wider than just your employees, which is important to note that, because it means that you should also protect your employees against contractors or clients, anyone that can visit your premises or can come into contact with your employees. You should protect them from sexual harassment by those individuals. Now, that may be very difficult to do, and some employers may say that's quite impractical, but the law also provides guidelines as to how that can be done. And one of the easiest ways in which to do that is to make sure that you have a proper employment policy in place, a sexual harassment policy, which makes your employees aware of all of their rights and obligations in relation to sexual harassment, who they can complain to at your employer's premises, the procedure that will be followed, and also to make sure that when you do interact with clients or with customers or contractors, that those individuals are aware that their interactions with you would still be subject to your policies. It would then be possible for you to refer to those policies in a case where any of your employees have been subjected to sexual harassment.
And what rights and recourse do victims of sexual harassment have in the workplace?
So we are all protected against unfair discrimination, and sexual harassment is a form of discrimination. And for that reason, you have the right to be protected, and you have the right to lay a grievance in the event that you feel your rights were not protected. Your employer is obliged to have a process in place for you to do so, and that means that if I was to be sexually harassed, I would be entitled to, if I'm with whatever employer I may be, I can then go and look for that policy, see who I should report it to, and once it has been reported, my employer has an obligation to act swiftly and to take serious action. Now, that may be to investigate the matter, it may be to hold various interviews, it can lead to an informal disciplinary inquiry, or a formal disciplinary inquiry, but steps have to be taken to ensure that I'm protected.
And what are some of the detrimental effects of sexual harassment on victims as well as the organizations?
So unfortunately, it's a reality that sexual harassment most often occurs between senior and junior employees. And that means that you have your subordinate employees. Most of the cases, they are female. However, it's not limited to female employees at all. Being in a position where work is becoming incredibly uncomfortable because someone more senior to them in a powerful position is sexually harassing them. It can have long-term mental consequences. It can have emotional consequences. It has consequences at home for employees. And it's one of the most serious forms of misconduct that can occur in a workplace. And for that reason, it's so incredibly important that employers pay attention to it and ensure that they properly protect their employees.
Now, Anne Lee, a lot of these sexual harassment cases happen, as you said, between someone who's higher up in the management level and someone who is lower, but also it happens between two people most of the time. How does one prove that it actually happened and not have it turn into a he said, she said type of situation?
That's a very good question. Sexual harassment, because it's defined with reference to factors as well, the Code of Good Practice on Sexual Harassment included in the Employment Equity Act provides some guidance. And it says that it can be various forms of conduct. Now, it can take the form of either verbal sexual harassment, in other words, comments being made. It can be nonverbal, in other words, looks or touches or hugs, for example, which is one of the examples we work with quite often, where not all of your employees are necessarily comfortable with an environment in which you hug.
That's Anlie Bezuidenhout, senior associate at Johannesburg-based law firm Cliff Dekker Hofmeyr, speaking to Samora Mangesi.